welcome to this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Chris Brown. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
I want to talk about trouble and comfort. And you'll see those two words pop up in the passage we're going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're reading from verse 3. So Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. And he says, all praise to God. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Now, your Bible might say, he is the God of all comfort. Traditional phrase, lovely statement, isn't it? He's the God of all comfort. He goes on, verse 4, he comforts us in all our troubles so we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer in Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. What a statement. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. So, trouble, suffering. You can see those two words, trouble and suffering, five times in that passage. Two different Greek words, but similar meanings. And they can be also translated affliction, distress, hardship, misfortune, pain, pressure. All those words describe what we all experience at some point in our life. Hopefully not all at once, hopefully not right now today, but if so, you're in the right place. Because we do face different issues, challenges, problems, and troubles in life. That's just part of life. But also notice in this same passage the word comfort, nine times in just five verses. And we all need comfort. Some kind of solution for the troubles, the turmoil, the tribulation, the dramas that we have. But, you know, the kind of comfort we really need to these troubles isn't necessarily the kind of comfort that we think we need or what the world around us provides us. Because you hear people talk about comfort food, or a nice comfy chair, or setting your life up to have a nice kind of comfortable home environment. And those things, there's nothing wrong with them. That's all great, but they just relate to our body or our soul. But that's only part of who you are. Because Bible College students amongst us, we are coming up towards the end of our first year for our part-time Bible College crew, they'll tell you that you are a tripartite being. In other words, you're made up of three things. You have a body, you live in a body, you have a soul, but deep down, essentially, you are a spirit. You are a spiritual being, and that's why Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So we have to kind of get in touch with the fact that we're more than just our soul, our feelings, our thoughts, and more than just our physical body. Deep down, we're spiritual. And the comfort that God provides for us goes right to our spirit. In fact, Bible College students will appreciate this. The Greek word, if you're a bit of a Greek reader of, you know, maybe not fluently Greek, but you might use a concordance and figure out some Greek words, you might have heard the word here for comfort, the noun is the Greek word paraklesis. The verb is parakleo. And that might sound familiar if you've heard what Jesus said in John chapter 14 and then 15 and 16. Jesus said, I'm going to send you a comforter and he'll be with you forever. And that's talking about the Holy Spirit. And of course, the word that he used was paraclete, the Greek variation of this same word for the Holy Spirit. So all that is to say that when God talks about bringing comfort, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, not just a bar of chocolate, you know, or a nice, comfortable lie on the beach, or something that the world might offer that is just a little scratching at the surface, a little attempt, maybe a little temporary solution or a little, yeah. But deep down, the Holy Ghost, in fact, the deepest comfort that we can possibly get is the Holy Spirit. And one of the other meanings of that word, paraclete or paraklesos, was a comforter, or someone coming alongside you, or someone coming to encourage you, to exhort you. And so that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. He comes alongside us and he encourages us. And that, as I said, is so much better than a piece of chocolate cake. Not that there's anything wrong with chocolate cake. I totally recommend that in appropriate quantities. You know, our real deepest comfort for our troubles in life is when we draw on the relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit. He comes alongside us. He brings us rich, lasting, deep, eternal comfort and care to the deepest part of our being. That is possible. And so whenever you have troubles, the message is clear in this passage. Even in the midst of those troubles, you've got access to this divine, deep, profound peace, comfort, consolation for the soul, and it's going deeper than entertainment or, you know, scrolling on social media, watching people fall over, as entertaining as that is, because, you know, there's so many videos that you can just watch of crazy things going on in the world, and, you know, that might be entertaining, but it's not going to solve all the deepest problems of the human heart. So, and we do have issues. You know, you can have relationships get a little tense, even, you know, when you're being asked to teach on marriage and you're driving around America, you're driving on the wrong side of the road, they're all going like a bat out of hell. I mean, I don't get overtaken much in Australia. Ruth's always saying, slow down, slow down. What's your speed? I'm like, speedo error, babe. Look, it's, you know, we're fine. I got points up my sleeve. It's okay. And I got points to burn. I mean, that's what they're there for. Why not use them? You know, it's like, what a waste. I'm not recommending breaking the law. We had a policeman in the church once. He was a motorbike rider, and we were sitting up at Jerry's, and I said, oh, yeah, sorry. I said, there's no police in heaven on Sunday, didn't I? Yeah. I said, I'm sorry. He said, yeah, you've said it twice now. He's no longer in the church. And I didn't mean that if you're a policeman, you can't go to heaven. I just meant that there's no need for police in heaven. So you can go for your life. But, yeah, like, so in America, man, they are There's no highway patrol in New Mexico. They got other things to worry about. One of the locals told me that, because last time I was there, I hired a motorbike and rode all over the place, and I'm going up this free run. I'm only keeping up with the traffic, and I'm doing, you know, high speeds. And I said to the people in the church, I said, there's no highway patrol. And they go, there, they got other things they're focused on. And so we're driving along. So Ruth's got to do the navigating. Now, of course, we've got Google these days and talking to, you know, but still there's a little negotiating. So it's a lot better than it used to be, little tense moments over the years, you know, driving around America. We were driving around, you know, Dallas 30 years ago on the way back from Russia, and you take one wrong turn, man, you are like three states away before you can turn around, because there are these big freeways, you know. It's like, it's the 120 east, or is it the 120 west? Oh, no, we're in Alabama, you know. It's like, okay. And so, you know, so all that to say, look, relationships, as wonderful as any marriage might be, it's not perfect. You know, you got to forgive your wife all the time. For not giving you accurate directions, or maybe at work, you know, stuff's kicking off, you've got issues with a colleague or your boss, or, you know, sometimes friends can let you down, even betray you, turn their back on you, really, you know, so-called friends are very hurtful. You're freaking out about finances. That's a common challenge in life. Kids, you love them, but they drive you up the wall. I would be a Christian and go to church if only for the kids club. You know, invite your friends, just say, come, it's free babysitting. Sit in church, you'll hear a good life application message, and let someone else have your kids for an hour, you know. Because, you know, you love them, but they're rat bags sometimes. Any stressful situation, God is there. He has what your soul is really crying out for. He's the source of all comfort. It says right there, verse 3. Can you see verse 3 again? What's it say? God, our merciful Father, and the source of all comfort. He's the source. Go to the source. Yeah? Why go to second-rate attempts? He is the source. And, as I said, any moment in life, you know, you can have something that suddenly, you're fearful about this, worried about that, stressed about this. Again, on the road, maybe you're a little, you know, got a propensity for anger, road rage. Just this morning, right? I'm on the motorbike. I've been away for 2.5 weeks and I like motorcycles and I'm on my bike and I'm cruising. And it's so nice. It's a lovely bike. I'm just riding. I go through the roundabout, Lizaro, and a guy overtakes me on the left on a motorbike. And it's a Harley Davidson. It's like, that doesn't happen. Harleys don't go around corners. I don't normally have someone overtake. Why on the left? And immediately I go, what are you? And then I look and I see on his back, he's wearing his colours. Rebels. 1%. He's even got a REB. His number plate is REB. I just went, okay. So I just followed him the rest of the way at a distance, you know. But, you know, so you need wisdom. Just thought, right, let him go. So, at any point we can draw on the Holy Spirit for not just the little incidentals of things that, you know, yeah, sure, you just get over it, but sometimes things can really be troubling. Maybe you've gone through or will go through or know people who have some terrible stuff, but the Holy Spirit can come. He will come alongside. He will bring peace, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that is beyond our comprehension, peace that is beyond what you don't know how you're going to navigate this situation, but the Holy Spirit gets you through. And notice, because of that, whenever Paul or any other New Testament writers talk about troubles, there's always a positive side to it. They don't ever say, I'm writing to you, when you have troubles, I know it's a real bummer, so hang in there, you'll be dead soon, you go to heaven. That's not in the New Testament. What does James say? Count it all joy. It's like, come on, seriously? Yeah, because it's an opportunity to press into God, to have the Holy Spirit come alongside you and go grow stronger, and he'll get you through it. Because God knows that you can sometimes only grow and learn when you negotiate your way through trouble. There's some life lessons you just don't get from cruising and tiptoeing through the tulips and having it all nice and easy. So, you know, the comfort that God offers, it isn't just a pat on the head, there, you'll be fine, just sit down, relax, or grit and bear it and cope and just passively manage the situation by doing nothing. It's actually quite active. The comfort that God offers is, come on, up you get. We'll get through this. Move forward. I'm with you. We're going to overcome this. We're going to fight, like Ruth was preaching over communion. Oh, no, it was Bethany's prophecy. That there's a fight sometimes for victory that we've got to take up. And no weapon formed against us will prosper. But we're going to take up the armor of God to beat the devil. And so, you know, it's sort of an active, not passive kind of peace and comfort that God offers. Because, as I said, there are many lessons in life that you don't really learn unless there's been some drama or difficulty. Like Romans 8:28, you know, many Christians love this verse. God works all things together for good for those who love him and call according to his purpose. But at the time you're going through it, they don't feel good. But when you look back, you go, oh, it was good. It sure didn't feel good at the time. But that's when the Holy Spirit comes and helps you get through it, and then you grow and you learn and you forgive, or you develop some solution for that problem, or you grow in your character, or, and then you're equipped to help other people when they go through it. So I'm constantly coming across inspiring stories of people who have negotiated difficulties in life and ended up being successful in a way that they wouldn't have been if they hadn't struck the difficulties. So in the USA, for example, physically getting there. So there's a woman called Ruth Fertel. She was born into a poor family in Louisiana in 1927. And then they hit the Great Depression. So the family moved to New Orleans looking for a better life. Her parents scratched together some money so she could go to university. She graduated with honours in chemistry and physics. She got married at a young age. She had some kids, but the marriage didn't last. So by the 1960s, she was a single mum. And though she had a job, she needed extra money because she wanted to send her kids to college. And that was, you know, private tuition and education that she needed money for. So she found an ad in the newspaper offering a restaurant for sale. And she also discovered that the restaurant, which was a steakhouse, had opened on the day she was born. So she took this as a sign. She thought, I'm going to buy this. She had zero experience in the restaurant industry. This is a picture of the place she found. It had a funny name, Chris Steakhouse. It wasn't Chris's, it was Chris Steakhouse, because the guy's name was Chris, but for some reason he didn't know about apostrophes. And whether you have an S after it or before, it doesn't matter, but you've got to have an apostrophe. But anyway, it was just Chris Steakhouse, you know. So she was advised not to do it. She had to take out a loan. Her friends, her family, her bank manager, her lawyer, everyone in her life said, you're mad, don't do it. But she did, took out a loan, bought the restaurant. She had to teach herself, she was only a frail little lady, she had to teach herself how to butcher animals and carve up and figure out how to make steaks, how to cook them, all the ins and outs of running a business. She actually used her science background, they say, to figure out. She developed this technique to use high heat, and there's a picture of her cooking, I think, or in the kitchen. There she is. She developed a way to cook steaks that would cook right through, even though they were beautifully thick. And so she developed this. And within 6 months, she had made twice the money that she had made in the previous year. So it helped her get on the way for sending her kids off to college. Business went really well, but then a fire burned down the building. And so she had to relocate to another site. And then she found this weird clause in the sale of the business that she had bought. It said, if you ever move the business to another site, you can't use the same name, which was a problem because she was trading off that name, was very well respected in the area, and it had been called, you know, Chris Steakhouse. So she came up with this new kind of weird name, but she called it Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. And there we are, in front of Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. So yes, over the years, people have come across this and they've always thought, what a weird name. But they think of us. So they send us photos. They go, look at this steakhouse we saw. Ruth and Chris's. Ruth, anyway, so now you know why the name's kind of weird. And she said she never really liked the name, but it worked because she kept the clientele who had related to Chris Steakhouse. Anyway, she built a franchise. She became really well known. It went all over the country. There's hundreds of Ruth's Chris Steakhouses. And interestingly, when I heard about it, and I've seen the name before in America, I've never been there, but I've always thought, yes, yeah, steakhouse, like family kind of restaurant. It wouldn't work in Australia. If you called it a steakhouse, you would think just sort of average. It's a very high-end restaurant. Possibly the best steak I've ever had was just 2 weeks ago when our host took us there because they thought it was funny and we said, you're welcome, yes, come on in. And they told the people when we went in, oh, look, this is Ruth and Chris. I said, yes, ta-da, welcome to our place. You know, but, you know, and Ruth Fertel, she ran the business into her 70s. She sold it only when she fell ill. She died about 20 years ago. She left behind a foundation, continues to support education programs for children and younger women in her home state of Louisiana. The fact is, she built an empire out of overcoming a troubling, difficult situation. She had troubles, and without those troubles, she wouldn't have gone looking for a creative solution, then ended up building this restaurant empire. And we're all called to build something. You know, we're all given the opportunity, and sometimes the trouble that you have is one of those opportunities. It just doesn't look like it, but you find a way with a solution to that trouble that ends up being part of what you're meant to build. And that can be, you know, building a family, building a marriage, building a business, building something for the Lord's glory with your spiritual gifts, serving in the house of God, ministering to children, building your home. Many of you have hospitality gifts. I'm all right. I can make you pancakes. And the men get blessed when we do men's things sometimes. That's about the extent of I can cook toast and pancakes. Ruth does the rest, you know. But, you know, so hospitality, that's a ministry. And you build into someone's life. You build ministry. And so we are all called to do something with our life. And sometimes that is not prevented by the troubles we have. It's actually facilitated when we see the trouble, but then we go to God and find the comfort in Him that we need to get through the trouble. And notice in this passage, verse 4, look at this. It's not just for our benefit. It's not just, oh, God will comfort you so you can cope and get through. He comforts us in all our troubles, watch this, so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. See, so the solace, the solution, the comfort, the peace that we receive from God isn't just for ourselves. We receive it so we can pass it on to others. And that is ministry. That's what life's really all about. As I said, not just living for ourselves. As the Bible says, freely you've received, freely give. That's life at its best, isn't it? Receiving something and then not just, you know, keeping it all like Gollum, you know, but letting it go. And so the fact is, we are not just here on earth to survive or seek out our own happiness. You know, we're here to get through the challenges, the dramas, the troubles that life throws at you, so that when you find someone who's facing a similar situation, you've negotiated a way, you've navigated a solution that you can show them. And that's really rich and lovely to help people, because you've been comforted, you've been assisted by the Holy Spirit, you've learned something, and now you get to share that blessing with someone else. And sometimes, I mean, there's all different ways in life that, you know, some people are financially blessed. They've found success in that area so they can bless others with material financial blessings. Or maybe in relationships, they've figured out how to really have a good marriage. And so they share that with others, how to, you know, get through, I don't know, relational conflicts. And so that's something that they can share. And it might be a career. Someone's figured out how to, you know, work on a good career, and you can share that with someone else and help them. So we all carry lessons that we learn from life, and they're not meant to just be for ourselves. Yeah, they're lessons that have either come from surviving tough times or from experiencing blessing in a positive way, or a combination of both. And so if you face difficulties, God's calling is not for you to stay as a victim, not just, you know, complaining about the situation or the boss or the government that didn't do this or somebody in your... No, you're called to be a survivor with a message for other people. You know, a learner who's picked up some good but maybe tough, but good lessons that you can share with others. You've gone through a test so that you have a testimony that'll bless people and bring God's goodness and solutions into their lives. So that is our mission and our part of our ministry, to be able to face troubles, find God's comfort, and then be able to share that with others, yeah? And so, you know, because without the Lord, people might grit and bear and get through things, but they end up embittered, hardened, and you've got a look in their face that is just, I got through, I survived. But God helps us to stay sweet, to learn and still have a lift and a step, you know, a spring in our step about life, and then that's attractive and helpful for other people. So when they're going, oh, you wouldn't believe what I'm facing, it's like, actually, I would believe it because I've faced the same kind of thing and I can help you. And it's like, well, yeah, I've learned some stuff, you know. And so how do you find, because we don't go on our feelings, right? We have the problems, we feel challenged, and then this, we've got to decide, you know, I feel terribly down, I feel worried about this, I feel upset about that, you know. Well, what do we do? We obviously don't want the feelings to lead us. We've got to find somewhere to get the feelings to follow. We need to go somewhere, and of course that's going into God's presence. All this, you know, mentioning about finding peace in the middle of the storms of life is found through prayer. Yeah, we just get a calm and a courage and a confidence in our spirit by pressing into his presence. And even though there's chaos and madness going all around, one prayer, one session, if you like, one disciplined time frame in your calendar, people are booking all kinds of appointments. Well, book an appointment with the Lord and turn off everything and shut yourself into the closet. Figuratively, Jesus used the closet as a metaphor, or it was a part of the house back then that would be a place that's quiet. So yeah, maybe it is a closet, or hopefully a room, or the beach, or up on a mountain, or somewhere where it's just you and the Lord. And it's not a ritual kind of prayer, it's not a habit, it's not some kind of duty. It's building a relationship with the Lord. It's letting the Holy Spirit come alongside you, just like a friend walks alongside you. How are you going? Oh, well, you know. Oh, okay. Well, then, and you talk it out. And he listens and he talks and you listen to him. Let me finish with one final thought and verse on this sense of being in the presence of the Lord. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says that we are seated in heavenly realms with Christ. You can look that up. I don't think I've got it on the screen, but Ephesians 2, verse 6. You know, that's a description of our spiritual position, the reality of where we are once we've given our lives to Christ, right? It's not when we die. That's right now. So we're physically here on earth, but we have the opportunity to be spiritually with him, with heaven's perspective on earthly problems, looking down. Like, you know, you watch a footy game. Oh, Wallabies, by the way. Not that I ever... I just heard, just praise the Lord. It's a miracle. They won in the last minute of the game. But, you know, you're up in the stands and, you know, if you've played rugby or any sport, you know, the ones that are brilliant are the ones they often talk about having vision. Whether it's a, you know, a soccer player just being able to see, that's the pass, it's going that way, or hockey or rugby. But when you're down there, it's often just this big bunch of sweaty buffheads and you don't know what's going on, you know, and... But it's the guy that somehow has vision. It's almost as if they're up in the stands going, I'm going to kick it there, boom, and we're going to get, I'm going to cut one here and get the pass through, and there's the gap, you know. Somehow they have an ability to see that down on the ground. So wouldn't it be great if you sometimes could just pause life and look up from there and go, oh, I see, if I do that, that's going to have that effect. But if I did this, I see down there. And I can, and that's exactly what the Lord offers. He takes us up to heaven and gives us spiritual, heavenly perspective on earthly physical problems that we're going through. And so we get his, you know, we talk about a bird's eye view, then we get heaven's eye view on things, yeah? So to illustrate, you know, our last day in Albuquerque, you know, Albuquerque is very proud of their weather. It's warm, New Mexico. Just north of Mexico, as you can imagine, was once part of Mexico, but Americans wanted it, so they had a war and they won it. Bang, simple like that. So they do. So the Albuquerque has 300 days per year of beautiful sunshine. So they get a bit of rain, and very rarely they get snow, especially early in November. That's pretty early. But the morning we woke up to leave, we looked out the window. This is what we saw. That's our little rental car that made its way on some very interesting four-wheel drive tracks. Ruth will tell you that story for another day. I showed her a picture. We sat down, had lunch, looked down this canyon, and there's this trail, and I realised I'll flip. That's the trail that I said I would do because that's the scenic route to go. And I told her, I said, that's where we're going. She said, no, you're joking. Anyway, it's a long story, but we did this crazy trail on this little car. And so we looked out. The power was out. All the Albuquerqueans were freaking out. The schools are shut. Like, you know, they don't get snow enough so that they just think, well. And then we thought, well, what about our flight? You know, flight's going to be okay. So we get to the airport and the flights were okay. The flights were going ahead, even though it had been snowing, you know. So it stopped snowing. And, of course, the snow gets sucked up. The dry ground loves it all. So the snow melts reasonably quickly. But it was still very gloomy, cloudy, foreboding, looking weather. We get on the plane and we take off. Within 2 minutes, I took this photograph. 2 minutes, less than 2 minutes. And I thought, isn't that interesting? You're down there and it's all dark and, you know, kind of foreboding weather and, you know, cloud covers thick, it's gloomy. You think, oh no, is it going to snow again? If you go high enough, there's always sunshine. You just got to get up high enough. And that starts just busting through the crowds. And so only moments ago, we're down in this cold climate and now we're in the warm sunshine. And so the key is, of course, it's sunny if you can go high enough. You just got to go up, you know. And we're all called to go up into the presence and seated with Christ. So the sad thing is many Christians are stuck down in the doldrums of life, in the darkness, in the dreariness, all the dramas, and that's all they see, and they don't take that opportunity to pray, go into God's presence and be taken up into the heavens above where it's sunny, looking down on the clouds, yeah? So, but we can. All we got to do is pray. And we can get above all the dramas and the turmoil and find peace, comfort, solace for our soul. And of course, you then get to enjoy that climate, that sunshine, that godly, glorious, heavenly, warm weather, not that of the world around us, yeah? And so I want to encourage you, you know, whatever and whenever dramas come, just hit the thrusters in, you know, in aviation terms, on the runway, pull the stick back, fasten your seatbelts, as they say, put the sign on, and then before you know it, you're in the Lord's presence and you're above, yeah? I want to read that passage one more time. This is from the Message translation. I think it might be up there to follow as well. This is the same passage I read at the beginning. All praise to the God and Father of our Master, Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times, and before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. We have plenty of hard times that come from following the Messiah, but no more so than the good times of his healing comfort. We get a full measure of that too. So when we suffer for Jesus, it works out for your healing and salvation. If we are treated well, given a helping hand and an encouraging word, that also works to your benefit, spurring you on, face forward, unflinching. Your hard times are also our hard times. When we see that you're just as willing to endure the hard times as to enjoy the good times, we know you're going to make it, no doubt about it. Isn't that great? So there's, again, capturing that sense that we can go to the Lord. It's not just for ourselves. We do life with other people. We come alongside them just like the Holy Spirit came alongside us. And we can help others in their hardship, especially if you've been through that kind of hardship and come out the other side, not bitter, not twisted, but clean, fresh and positive with the Lord in your heart. Amen? So let's carry that with us, that confidence to face troubles and go into his presence to receive comfort. Amen? Praise him. Let's pray. Well, wonderful. Father God, we thank you. You are the God of all comfort. And I pray anyone today who is facing any kind of pressure or pain that seems too much, that they would take the opportunity you offer to be seated in heavenly realms with you, Lord Jesus, by just that prayer of commitment to you. And I thank you for the power that you bring into our lives through the lovely presence of the Holy Spirit. Calm, comfort, and also powerful and stirring and strengthening so we can overcome whatever the world or the devil may throw at us. I thank you that you've called us to victory, to move forward, to develop things in our lives, to build not an empire for ourselves, but to build ministry for your glory. Help us, show us how we use our gifts for your glory, what we are building and how we can build against any odds or opposition. Thank you, Lord, each one of us building something glorious with you and for you. Your touch on every life here today. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
In the name, Jesus, Jesus.